What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
It doesn't have the oomph that it usually does.
No, because it is Friday and we should be celebrating, but I'm just feeling like so exhausted. Like, I feel like I've woken up every day this week, like, really hoping that things for Jews in America would, like, de-escalate.
And Jews around the world.
Jews around the world, excuse me. And I just woke up today and it was, like, the worst it's ever been. And yeah. I just, like, had a full breakdown because it's, like, it's so scary to be Jewish in a time like this. And you kind of, like, are inclined to just ignore it and, like, hope it'll go away. But it's getting so much worse. And I've already cried twice today, so I'm just warning. I know people hate when I cry on the podcast, but, like, I probably am.
Sometimes you just gotta let it out.
It's just, like, a terrible feeling to, like, wake up and be, like, scared to be Jewish. Mm-hmm. And, like, and have, like, a fucked up thought. Like, it's, like, terrible to say. But, like, you wake up and you're grateful that you don't, like, look Jewish, you know? Because, like, I mean, I don't wear my Jewish star necklace every day, but, like, I've never once felt uncomfortable wearing it. And, like, that's a huge privilege of living in New York and living in a what's supposed to be, like, a wonderfully progressive melting pot of people. And today I was just, like, walking to work and I'm like, oh my God, I've just never, like, been aware of my Jewishness in the way that I am now. Because, like, I know two people who are currently in the hospital because they were attacked for being Jewish. And of course it's terrible when it happens to anyone, but when it happens to two people who you know personally, like, it's just like indescribably upsetting.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I feel like we're just coming off of this, like, really great year for social justice,
but it doesn't feel like it includes
and there's
Jews.
Just like no energy.
Yeah.
For no, us.
And the energy is on the other side, it feels like.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I can't even stress this enough. Like, yesterday we've all been, you know, posting about and keeping up what's going on in the Middle East, and yesterday they agreed to a ceasefire, and that's, like, wonderful. But there's things going on in our own country, and yeah. Like, it feels like people are just ignoring it. And I think we should focus our energy on that, because as much as we all think we're experts on the Middle Eastern conflict, we're not. But, like, there is stuff we can actually do in our city. And, like, for it to be happening in New York, and I know it probably sounds, like, so silly of me to say.
10 blocks from where we are right now. Like,
it's one of the most densely populated Jewish populations in the country. So it's, like, if it can happen there.
Yeah.
Where can it happen?
Yeah. No, I think growing up Jewish, like, we're always fully aware, and, like, we've learned in school and throughout our lives, like, the perils that the Jewish people have suffered. And it has always felt like America is the exception, like, where you are free
safe
to be
haven.
Who you are. And
I feel like Candace from Real Housewives of Potomac.
Oh my God, you are
with
your corner. and it doesn't feel like that this week. It doesn't feel like a safe haven. It feels like at best you're silent, and at worst you're coming for us. Like,
yeah.
It's a horrible feeling.
I feel
like as Jews we feel so alone in this.
And, like, I also feel like not only do I feel alone, I also feel, like, scared to speak up for my community, because in some way it, like, devalues another community, and that's so not, like, at all what I'm trying to do. And it's not okay to hate on anyone regardless of their religion, no matter who you are or where you're from, but we can't, like, ignore the fact that it's happening to Jews right now.
That can't exclude the Jews,
right?
But for centuries it has, and it does, and that's just, like, literally our cross to bear.
literally
I'm like,
and I think a lot of people are like,
so you grow up learning about it. This is what I was saying. And you feel like,
oh, yeah.
You know, we are in a time of the exception, and then you're like, oh no, this is the oldest hatred, and it cloaks itself in different names and the verbiage that's thrown around. It's anti-Zionism. No, it's anti-Semitism. You probably don't realize this from the graphics that you're seeing, but Zionism is a beautiful thing.
It's not a bad word.
It's not a bad word. To be a Zionist is not a dirty thing. So to be anti-Zionist is just a more palatable way of being anti-Semitic. I think in this day and age, I think throughout history, anti-Semitism has always cloaked itself as something else. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it was in the Crusades and we're the Hebrews, then we're the Semites. In Nazi Germany, you know, we're going to put the Jews in ghettos because they have tuberculosis. They're sick and diseased.
Yeah.
It's always cloaked itself in some sort of like social justice. And it's not. And it's the same thing over and over again. And I can imagine that it's really confusing for people who aren't Jewish, who don't understand what's going on and are like, think that they're helping. But you're hurting us. This is a tale as old as time. And you got to wake up.
I think one of, like, honestly, like a breaking point I had yesterday was I saw an Instagram story from not a hugely popular influencer who literally posted a graphic of Jews in the media and like how, you know, all these hate crimes going on are staged because look who owns the media. And I was like, that like actually took my breath away because that is like textbook Nazism. Like that was so crazy. And that person's being applauded.
Whereas
people in my DMs like calling me Islamophobic for supporting the Jewish community, and that's so not what it is at all.
No, and like that person that you're talking about would call Zionism Nazism. Yeah. Which it's like, it's so twisted. I saw a graphic, and these are the types of graphics I'm talking about where it's like, please don't take them at face value. Not ones that are stating facts, ones that are like, I saw one that was like, Zionism is white supremacy. No matter how many times you say that or post that, that is not true. No group has suffered more in the last century at the hands of white supremacy than the Jews. Yet today, we are somehow the white supremacists. Make it make sense.
No, and I think like one of the things that really bothers me, and I think maybe a lot of people are like, well, you know, you guys might be overreacting. Because of course, like, no, even in a perfect world, there's always going to be people who hate the black community, who like, there's always just going to be bigotry. Like, that's just sadly a fact. There are always going to be people who hate Jews. So I think a lot of people are like, this might be like an overreaction. And I think what a lot of people don't understand is like, technically, we grew up in what's considered like the Jewish diaspora, right? Like the greatest time to be a Jew ever. Post-Holocaust, Jews have never had more freedom. We have our own country, the only Jewish state in the entire world. Like, so we really grew up so privileged, like not really understanding how bad it could have been. Mm-hmm. But we also grew up like with grandparents who survived the Holocaust. So there was always this like, in all of our education and our culture and in our religion, there is this like thought in the back of our mind, like it can never happen again, but it's always a possibility. It's always a possibility. And you grew up with grandparents who like, you know, never let you not finish a meal because they didn't have a meal for 5 years. So like, it's so ingrained in our trauma. And so we're always constantly living in fear that like it will happen again. Mm-hmm. And so for those who maybe don't understand like why we take it so seriously, that's why. Because like it's so just like we wake up every day and like it's always a constant part of our thoughts.
I feel like, and up until these last few weeks, it's always been, you know, Jews, we never forget. But it feels like
they've forgotten.
It's more imminent than it's ever felt.
Yeah.
And so...
And I just feel like if
the least we can do is speak on it. And so if this were any other community going through this right now, we would say the same thing, which is that our Jewish toasters, we are here for you. We feel what you're feeling. We feel alone. We feel scared. But we're here.
Yeah. And just like I like literally saw the scariest thing in Montreal. There's like a service to walk Jews to temple this weekend, like with a bodyguard, like you like sign up before. Like, where are we living? Montreal's like one of the most Jewish cities. I've been there. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's just like very upsetting. And what's even more upsetting is like some of the messages I'm getting, like people who are just like genuinely upset that I'm talking about this. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Like if you want to come at me for posting about what's really happening in New York and making it about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, like that's on you. Like, you need to look in the mirror and check your anti-Semitism, because honestly, what is happening in New York right now and all over the world is a direct result of what's going on in Israel. But, like, we need to focus on what's going on here. Like, literally, people are, like, taking their yarmulkes off and hiding their necklaces under their shirt.
Yeah.
Like, that's so not okay.
No.
So I just really wanted to cry on the show today.
Well, anyways, I don't know how we pivot. I feel like we've just been sort of like putting our best foot forward all week. Like just wanting, like that's what we do. We cheer people up. And
yeah.
Like, but we're just like not super cheery. It I feel like has reached a fever pitch last night and this morning. Just every day I roll over and I'm like.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
To wake up to.
And we feel no support. We do not feel supported. And that hurts more.
More. That's me and Ben were talking about it before bed last night. I'm like, I don't know what's crazier. The fact that this is even happening, because it's like so 1930s. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, is it crazier that this is happening? Or the fact that like literally nobody cares? Because mm-hmm. you always think when you learn about the Holocaust, you're like, how did all these people not do anything? And it's like, you can't imagine a world where like literally the Jewish communities in your country were rounded up at night and all the people were taken to gas chambers. Like, you can't even imagine a world in which
like,
that happens.
Where are the neighbors? Like, where are my neighbors?
Call the police. Take a picture. You know, like, so you always grew up being like, honestly, this can never happen again because like people would be taking pictures of it. Like, there's no way. But
people are taking pictures and...
And nothing... Nobody cares.
No, but like... Also, it's so crazy. You watch these videos of one Jewish man being beat up on his way to, you know, a pro-Israel rally. And there's all these people beating on him, filming themselves. They'll like run and take a punch, run away and film themselves like as if they're doing something commendable. It's literally Black Mirror, that episode.
Yeah.
But it's not funny.
No, but even videos like that, like I've just seen people online. It's like, well, what was he doing?
Yeah.
Well, what did he say? Or like... Oh, I think those are actors. Like, are you... I can't. Like, that is so dumb.
No, I saw Ben posted, like, a ignorant, at best, DM. And he was... The person was like, you guys brought this on yourselves.
Oh, I can't. Victim blaming at its finest. Also, just, like, a really weird caveat is... somebody sent me something on Instagram today, like, totally random, but, like... How when you're speaking on like people always say like your silence is deafening. It's actually a really ableist thing to say. Like, no, because it's true. Like the deaf community doesn't want to be associated with ignorance. And I actually really felt that. So I never even thought of that in my life.
Yeah.
But now that somebody brought it up, like I will never say it again.
Okay.
So I just wanted to share it. Like clicked for me.
Yeah, no, that.
It makes sense.
It makes sense.
Like leave the deaf community out of this.
No, 100%.
It's not like, are you kidding?
No.
So I actually just really wanted to share that.
Okay, cool. I'm going to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
For sure. Justice for the deaf community. Like,
100%. Don't bring them into this.
Don't bring them into this. Okay, well, I feel good.
Yeah, we said what we said, and now we're going to do what we do, and that's deliver. I guess we could get right in. Is there anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I think I have seasonal allergies.
Okay.
At the age of 26, I do believe I have officially developed seasonal allergies. I've just been feeling a little groggy all week. And I've heard from my Instagram community that it is possible to develop late in life allergies. So that's just like a new thing with me.
Mm-hmm. Allergies are really bad this year. You can see the pollen like falling from the sky.
People think it's sometimes when we sit and do our show that it's snowing outside, but it's dead ass just pollen.
Right. So it's not your fault that the allergies came for you. Welcome to the club.
They came hard for me.
Yeah. They're coming for you.
Yeah. But so is everyone else. So get in line.
Yeah. Okay. I guess without further ado, where are you? He's right there sleeping, being a perfect angel.
Thinking about how he can help the rising anti-Semitism.
Thinking about it. Here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Scentbird. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, you smell amazing, what perfume you're wearing? Whatever scent you may be wearing, you have good taste and you know what you like. But your great taste is also expensive, and you end up with a shelf full of half-used bottles, or you've been wearing the same two perfumes for years because going out to buy a new one is a hassle. But with Scentbird, we have found a way to have great taste and mix up our fragrance routine without breaking the bank, whether it's Tom Ford, Gucci, or Versace. Scentbird.com keeps me smelling good month after month. So I've tried a lot of different perfumes from Scentbird because that's literally the point. Malin & Goetz, I didn't even know that they made perfumes because I've only used their lip balm, which is amazing. And I love it. I've discovered so many new fragrances. And the best part is that basically Scentbird is a subscription service that gives you the opportunity to shop over 600 brands. They have a really flexible subscription so you can skip a month without any penalties. But the best part is that you don't get a full bottle because if you don't like it, then you're stuck with this big bottle of perfume or cologne that you don't even like. Mm-hmm. They send you a 30-day supply, and they carry brands like Prada, Gucci, Versace. And if you love it, the next month you can get the same one. You could try a different one. They're very travel-friendly. They come in these great compact cases.
Travel-friendly, because I feel like whenever I'm going to a fancy affair, it's when I'm traveling. But then if I'm not checking luggage, can't bring perfumes. Right. Scentbird has you covered.
If you're going to like destination weddings this summer, Scentbird has literally saved my life on like weekend destination weddings. Mm-hmm. And it's super affordable. You can try a new designer fragrance every month for just $16. And with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you can get 30% off your first month today. That's only $11 for your first fragrance. Go to scentbird.com and use the promo code TOAST for 30% off your first month. Again, that's S-C-E-N-T bird.com for you to try your first perfume or cologne for just $11.
Sign on, smell amazing. I was stifling a sneeze. Okay, first story. Kacey Musgraves says she was dying inside before a split from Rustin Kelly. She said, I felt broken. In a new interview with Elle for the publication's June-July 2021 issue, on newsstands June 8th, the 32-year-old Golden Hour singer spoke about her ill-fated marriage to Rustin Kelly.
Those were the days.
If you would have told me the night of the Grammys, hey, in 2 years you're going to be divorced and have a whole nother album written, I would have been like, fuck off, no way, she said, she's releasing her next studio album this year. Very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I was so excited to like read the tea in this article and like see the photos, but I was also just like excited that she's doing press, because that means like an album is done, it's on the horizon, we're gonna get a release date, we're gonna get a single soon, so we're back in like a Kacey Musgraves era. And as someone who's kind of been participating in all the eras before it was cool, I'm very excited about this.
She said that the album is going to be very like inspired by Weezer, Daft Punk, and Magic Mushrooms, so I feel like it's gonna be a little different.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I don't know. That doesn't sound like a good descriptor. Weezer?
Beverly Hills. That's where I want to be.
I don't really think that's like my particular vibe.
Okay. I mean, I think Kacey will make it your vibe.
I think Kacey actually, like, if she really tried super hard and sat down and tried to write a terrible song, she couldn't.
Yeah.
So I have all the faith in her. The looks from this shoot were sickening. We saw a little butt crack. So I'm excited. Legs for days.
She also explained to Elle that while her marriage to Rustin started off strong, things took a turn for the worse once the pandemic kept them isolated at home together for months early last year. She said, I could have coasted for another couple of years, just not paying attention to my feelings or not really dealing with some things. But the extended time at home led her to question herself. She said, why did I make these decisions? How did I get here? How can I prevent myself from getting there again? Why do I keep choosing the same kind of people? She said, I felt in many ways on top of the world in my career, but in my personal life, I felt like I was dying inside. I was crumbling. I was sad. I felt lonely. I felt broken.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all, like people who follow Kacey and Rustin, like had like little inklings about how like they were like never together, never photographed together, never posted together. At one point, I really firmly believed like they just really wanted their privacy. But that gut feeling, you're always right.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes like it is nice when, you know, celebs keep their relationships private. But in hindsight, those were all probably signs.
Yeah. And I think the sign is like when you're comfortable living a very public life with all parts of you except for your relationship. That I think people who are private about their whole lives, including their relationship, like that tracks. But I feel like Kacey like shares a lot. She's very active on social media. She went to the Kardashian Christmas party. And like her husband was just not part of any of that. So like, yeah. I think the fact that her whole life was kind of in the spotlight, except for him, made us all question, you know, what was really going on. But I think the way she talks about her relationship in COVID, I think a lot of people can relate to. Like, you can't run from your problems when you're quarantined with someone.
When they're staring at you in the face.
So she probably saved herself a couple years. They probably, if the pandemic hadn't happened, they would have just kind of mulled along until it was, like, unavoidably problematic.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm excited for this new Kacey era. Didn't know that that was what was happening. But now I'm so thrilled.
Me too.
I'm ready for it.
Me too.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Floribama short star Nilsa Prowant gives birth to her first child. Reality star Nilsa gave birth to her first child, a son named Gray Allen, on Thursday at 1:56 a.m., prompting influencer Claudietta Ashray to go on a tangent about names like Gary.
No. First of all, I love Nilsa. I'm so happy for her.
Yeah.
I think she's a great reality star. She's giving me major Snooki vibes, just kind of disrupting the whole house with the first baby. Like, it's a major shift. And I love Floribama Shore. But the reason I saw her post, and I follow her on TikTok, and she's been making so much premium TikTok content, like 40 weeks pregnant, because she's been pregnant forever. And when she posted her thing, I thought it said Gary Allen. And I'm like, Gary Allen, that is a grown businessman's name, like a lawyer for Allen, Allen, and Allen. Like, I was so confused. And then it just, like, it kind of started this thought process in my mind, because of course there are names now we consider to be old, because a generation ago they were considered to be young. And now, like, every Susan, Carol, Bob, and Barbara we know is an older person.
Yeah.
So I'll just
But, like, at one time, like,
it was a young person's
they
name.
They were the Chloes.
Right. So now what I'm saying, like, in 30 years, everyone is going to have a Grandma Sarah or, like, a Grandma Rachel.
No, but Rachel and Sarah are classic biblical names.
No, you're right.
So in 30 years, everyone is going to have a Grandma Jennifer.
Yeah. And then Jennifer, like, is going to be for, like, Gen Zers or whatever comes after Gen Z. They're going to be, like, the most grandma name ever. Like,
yeah.
Susan.
Yeah.
So it just made me think. And then people were, like, coming at me because, like, apparently I have an old person's name.
Do you?
I don't. I mean, I do know that I do actually know a few people with Grandma Claudia's. So I just wanted to make that known. But, like, when I think of Claudia, I think of Claudia Schiffer. And I think Claudia, like, a fabulous Latin goddess. Like, maybe I'm just narcissistic, but I think Claudia's a fabulous name.
I think Claudia's a fabulous name, but they didn't say it wasn't fabulous. They were saying that it was.
I think Claudia's a fabulous young name.
I think Claudia is not young or old. I think it's too rare for it to have been pigeonholed into one age demo.
I agree. That's true, actually.
Like, you could have a baby Claudia now. You could have a Grandma Claudia. That's, to me, name goals.
Right. Versatility.
No, and timelessness. And that's why, like, at the end of the day, I'm not going to come for the Rachels and the Sarahs, because, like, those names are thousands of years old and they'll be around for thousands of years after us.
Yeah. Sarah, Rachel, and Leah are, like, the biblical names. And what are the men's names? Isaac,
Abraham,
Jacob.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
Moses.
Moses.
So, I'm not into the name Moses.
Okay.
I'm into, you know, of course, his biblical legacy.
Yeah.
But not really into the name Moses for a young boy. Like, where's the beer?
Okay. Wait, it's kind
of. And honestly, it's too much of a legacy to live up to. Because for us, we follow the Old Testament, obviously. And, like, Moshe was, like, the whole book. Like, he was, like, literally, like, the main character.
Yeah.
And I just, and, like, he led the Jews out of Egypt into Canaan. Like, he was kind of, like, a big deal. And I don't know. I feel like that's a lot of pressure to put on a young boy.
Yeah, but it's also, you know, could be a good omen.
Yeah, of course,
I'm sure people look at it.
No, but what if you name, you know, your kid Moses and then he ends up to be, like, a degenerate, you know?
Yeah, that's
It's not... like, was it the name? We'll never know.
Okay, but so you said on your story, like, that you've been seeing people, like, with these names of old.
Yeah.
Have you been seeing that?
Yes, in certain groups.
I'm not going to ask you to share.
No, of course
I just was like, okay, but you thought she named it Gary, but she didn't.
No, I thought she named it Gary, and then it just led me on this thought process. I'm like, there are people who, like, wake up and decide to name their kids Carol.
Yeah, I don't think there's, like, that many.
No, but they exist, and, like, that was just, like, weighing on me.
Okay, I'm glad that you shared it.
Do you have any baby names, or you would never share them?
I would never share them.
Shayla.
I would never share
Shayla
them.
Shayla Gate.
I would never share them on the show. Yeah, but I don't have, like, I have an idea of names, but I don't have, like, the name.
Don't you also love to know, like, what people's names were supposed to be?
Yeah. Like,
Alexis?
My name was supposed to be Alexis or Victoria, which now, after being a student of royal history, I would have taken Victoria.
Yeah, but what about being a student of The Bachelor?
Yeah. And if I, yeah.
All it takes is one person who you don't like to, like, have a name that you like to ruin it for you.
Yeah.
I had a name, I'm not going to say it, but I had a name growing up that I, like, adored, and I met someone with that name, and I will literally never use that name.
Yeah, I feel that. What was your name supposed to be? Was it always Claudia?
Yes, people have, like, stories. Margot's name was supposed to be Grace. I don't have, like, a pre-name. I was always just, like, I was born stunning, and they were like, you have to be Claudia.
Your model, Claudia Schiffer, it was on the magazine cover, right next to the bed, and they were like...
Are there any other famous Claudias?
Famous Claudias.
Like, because I grew up...
Well, there's Claude Monet.
Oh, I mean, my namesake. I grew up being like, yeah, I'm Claudia Schiffer, but now Claudia Schiffer's irrelevant. Like, I want someone...
Oh, well, Claudia Jordan.
Love her.
Mm-hmm.
She's not, like, that famous, though.
Okay, there's a list of famous Claudias, but...
And you've never heard of any of
them. That I've never heard of.
Oh, Claudia Saluski.
Yes.
She's, like, a little prettier than me. Just a little.
I'm looking for a Claudia that I have
no,
heard of.
Yeah. It's honestly, it's like, it's almost like the universe is begging for a Claudia to become super famous. I'm on my way, universe.
Yeah, no, it's a good name to claim.
Yeah, that's the heart. Are there a lot of famous Jackies? Or Jacqueline?
Jackie O.
Jackie Schimmel.
Jackie Schimmel, that's who I'm named after.
I don't think there's any, like, super famous Jackie. Oh, Jackie Chan?
Yeah.
But you could be the female.
No, there are famous Jackies for sure. But I also, like, when someone has the same name as me, like, I don't even realize. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I feel like, very territorial.
I really have never taken the time to realize that Jackie Schimmel and I have the same name.
Oh, wow, really? I guess I haven't either.
Like, about Claudia.
But it makes sense. You both are, honestly, Jackie's, like, a really fabulous name. Like, I've never met someone who was named Jackie who isn't, like, elegant and refined.
Oh, thank you so much.
Like, Jackie Schimmel is very... Elegant and refined.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, Jackie Chan, Jackie Gleason.
Don't know him.
Jackie Robinson.
Of course.
Jackie Evancho.
The opera singer?
Yeah.
The young America's Got Talent?
Yeah, yeah, the okay. young girl. Yeah, she has a great rendition of Someday at Christmas. Check it out.
Someday at Christmas.
Okay, this website fucking sucks. Just want to say.
No, but like when you... Have you
like
ever...
Jackie... Kennedy Onassis isn't even on these lists.
Wow, that's a like, fucked up list.
She is the Jackie.
Well, it's so funny because, like, you know, Ben and I, Ben is a very Jewish name. It's actually just a very everything name, but like, we, like, I would say once a week we're in a room with someone who's also named Ben, yeah. And it must be hard for Ben to, like, not feel his, like, individuality.
Yeah, no, what? I don't think he suffers from not feeling individuality.
No, me neither. But what I was saying is, like, I never find myself in a situation like that. But a few weeks ago, when I went to a bachelorette party in the Hamptons, there was someone else named Claudia. And I have to say, I felt very territorial, especially because she knew more people at the bachelorette party. So if someone was calling Claudia, it was almost never for me.
Damn.
And so I felt like a loser. Like, I felt like the losery Claudia.
Yeah, you probably were.
Sade.
That's how I feel when there's another redhead in the room.
Oh, that makes sense. Do you mean redhead as in hair color or redhead as in podcast listener?
Reader
of redheads.
No, I mean as in hair color, but that could be confusing. Okay, ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Prince William is slamming the BBC after an inquiry into Princess Diana's Panorama interview. He said, "My mother was deceived." This is a really crazy story that's like 20 years confusing. Too late, but here we go. Prince William and Harry are reacting to the official inquiry into circumstances that led up to their late mother, Princess Diana's BBC Panorama interview in 1995. In a statement released on Thursday, William strongly criticized the deceitful way the interview was obtained and defended his beloved mother. He said, "I would like to thank Lord Dyson and his team for the report." I believe that's the Dyson report. "It is welcome that the BBC accepts Lord Dyson's findings in full, which are extremely concerning. That BBC employees lied and used fake documents to obtain the interview with my mother, made lurid and false claims about the royal family, which played on her fears and fueled paranoia, displayed woeful incompetence when investigating complaints and concerns about the program, and were evasive in their reporting to the media and covered up what they knew from their internal investigation." So, long story short, it has come out.
It was
there
a
are
bad
findings.
Time.
Investigation has proven that Martin Bashir, who Diana did the interview with, like, falsely gave her false information and false context under which she did the interview, which
and
the
this fallout, interview is like constantly referenced
this
right
interview is iconic. The fallout from it, like the divisiveness between the family, like I think it made everything worse.
Yeah,
and it played on her paranoia, as William said. And so finally 20 years later, a reminder that the media is trash.
Yeah, but like I don't know, I feel conflicted about this because what I love how William and Harry like love their mom so much, and they're constantly, even after, you know, years after her passing, are just trying to, you know, protect her legacy. So I appreciate that, like, William doesn't want this, like, what he believes to be, like, manipulation of his mother, and of her in a hard time, to constantly be exploited. But also, like, and as sad as it is, like, you're a public figure, you do an interview, like, that shit lives forever.
I don't know. In the words of Claudia Ashray, justice is on the table.
When I said that, like, that was not the right phrase. I meant to say... What did I mean to say? What was I talking about when I said that yesterday?
I have no idea, and it was a few days ago.
I meant, like, justice is up for grabs, or I don't know.
But, so justice is up for grabs.
Like, and I also, like, touched the table when I said
that. So I understand that, like, it happened, and, you know, move on, I guess is what you're saying, but, like...
No, not move on, but, like, that is just a part of being a public figure. Like, not to say I'm even on the same page as the royals, but, like, are there pictures of me on the internet that I literally would literally pay any amount of money to be destroyed? Of course.
I hear what you're saying.
So... But I feel conflicted. I agree with him.
I appreciate justice and context and hindsight whenever we get it.
Yes, I do appreciate context because, of course, I've seen that interview and I don't even know what he's talking about. Like, apparently there were forged bank notes or whatever.
Yeah, that proved that this guy was in with the peeps and just makes you think.
So, yes, you're right. Like, media manipulation is not okay. And it's never too late
to give
context and, like, show us what really happened. That I agree with.
Yeah. I think that's always an important lesson, especially today.
Especially now, like, with the royal family. Like, they're just, like, not having a great year in terms of press.
Oh, yeah. I was just talking about the media in general.
Oh, but I'm just talking about the royal family. Like,
Oh, yeah.
This is just, like, one of the things.
Because I think that interview for a lot of the Diana stans, like,
was a caused a chasm.
Yes.
Chasm?
Chasm is a great word. Thank against you. The royal family.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story? A little art news.
A little art news that's brought to you by Booty by Brabants.
Oh, yes. They love art.
Booty by Brabants, founded by fitness instructor Kelly Brabants, is changing the athleisure game with its high-quality, durable leggings and inclusive approach. Booty by Brabants leggings sculpt your body, highlight your curves, and will take your workouts to the next level with the perfect amount of compression and support. They are a brand that prides themselves on their inclusive approach. They eliminate numbers from the shopping experience because numbers should never define us. You can experience the Booty by Brabants signature Croco skin material, which is what you've been working out in for the last, like, 3 weeks.
And it's everything of the sort. It feels so good to work out in. Things stay in place, stay where they should. And when you look in the mirror, like, you like what you see.
Right, which is so rare when you're working out. The black Croco skin leggings are the perfect black leggings that every woman needs in their life. They are designed to last a lifetime. You can also shop them in biker shorts, which are on now up as a spring summer staple. So if you want to check them out, shop now for 15% off using the exclusive code TOAST at bootybybrabants.com. That's booty, as in B-O-O-T-Y, by Brabants, BRABANTS.com. Code TOAST for 15% off. Check it out. Work out in style. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Okay, next up, a little art news. A long-lost Van Gogh masterpiece.
Van Gogh?
Van Gogh, has been discovered by a New York City collector. We love a
little
unfound art.
He just, like, stumbled upon
it? Yeah, I don't know. He found it at an obscure country auction, but it is
that's crazy.
An iconic piece.
Would he pay, like, $20 for it?
Oh, I don't know. The piece is called Auvers 1890. It's in its original condition and signed on the back by, quote, Vincent. It's a once-in-a-lifetime find, and the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam has requested he send it to them for immediate authentication. Okay.
But the piece, are they going to send it back?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're just authenticating it, but, like...
But if they just have it, like, wouldn't they just put it in their museum and steal it?
I think they would have to.
I would be nervous about, like, sending
it. You wouldn't trust the Van Gogh Museum.
No, of course. I have the one thing they want. An undiscovered Van Gogh. Why the fuck would I trust them?
Totally. The piece of...
I would fly there with it and oversee the entire process, but I wouldn't just hand it over.
Yeah, yeah. No, I feel that. I think you're onto something.
100%.
And then they'll say, no, it's not authentic because they gave him back an authentic one.
It's not authentic. Let us keep it.
No. They'll give them back. They'll make a fake. They'll give it to him and say it wasn't authentic.
Right.
And then they'll keep the real.
And then, like, they found one, too.
Yeah. They found one, too. The piece, if authentic, was likely painted in the last 2 months of the famed artist's life.
Wow.
Van Gogh shot himself in a wheat field in July 1890, possibly in one of the fields that appears in the painting.
Oh, man.
Pivar believes. Yeah.
This is stunning.
Yeah. This is a big find.
Wow. The art world is quaking.
The art world is quaking. And you know, I'm excited for them.
Me too.
That they have what to quake
over. How much do you think it's going to, like, sell for?
Millions?
Yeah, I think, like, maybe, like, hundreds of millions.
I don't know, but
first of all,
it'll be exciting.
And like, what do you think costs more, Van Gogh or Picasso?
I think Van Gogh, and it's also, you know, I was like, wait, is Van Gogh the one who's just alive? Because apparently Picasso is, like, from the 1900s. Like,
shut up.
You know this? Yes, like, you do.
Picasso
know this.
Was alive.
Picasso
recently.
Is
Shut
that not
up.
The crazy? Picasso died around, I'm going to give you the exact date, in 1973. Pablo Picasso. Don't you just associate him with, like, the
1500s?
Renaissance? Yeah.
Okay, and when was Van Gogh?
Van Gogh was 1800s, which is, like,
but
which
you guys,
tracks?
You know it's Van Gogh. I just, like, I can imagine the comments being like, you really thought of Van Gogh?
No, we didn't.
Wait, when did Van Gogh die?
1890.
That's still, like, not that far away.
No, but, like.
That's that makes more sense, yeah.
Yeah, but well, so never forget that Picasso was just, like,
was, like,
the
alive
70s.
In the 70s. He was at Woodstock, probably. Like, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, so I think then that the Van Gogh piece would be more valuable because it's older, right?
Yeah.
Shocking
stuff.
I wonder who's going to buy it. Then we can, like, look into their Forbes, you know?
Yeah.
See if they have any single sons.
We can add them to the list.
We can add them to our list.
Yeah, so I was just going to ask you, have you been hearing about NFTs?
Of course. Ben did, like, a whole thing on the podcast about it.
Oh, okay, cool. Because I was just learning about them last night.
Like, I do think it's, like, kind of silly. I mean, Ben explained it to me, and I was like, well, why would someone pay, some of them are going for hundreds of thousands of dollars, for a collectible digital thing, when literally you're on the bidding website, you could just screenshot it. Like, it's so dumb. Like, how will anyone know that, like, I bought the NFT or if I just screenshotted it from the bidding website? Like, it's so silly. And then Ben was like,
they'll know, but okay.
Then Ben was like, Well, you could say the same thing about, you know, you can go to Canal Street and buy a fake Louis Vuitton, or you can go to 57th Street and buy a fake, real Louis Vuitton. Most untrained people would assume that, would not know the difference. So I'm like, okay, I guess that's a good point, but I can wear my purse out. I can fill it with things. It serves a purpose. I don't know what a digital picture serves for me.
Bragging rights.
And then I saw Emily Ratajkowski's sold for $140,000. I'm like, okay, well, honestly, this is not that much. Like, for Emily Ratajkowski, like, I was just like, I was kind of unimpressed by the amount.
Okay.
So I don't have one. I won't be bidding on any, and I don't really understand it.
Yeah, same, but I'm starting to learn, so I'll keep you posted on my findings. Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Is it the final story? Doo-doo-doo. Bum, bum.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Ay-ay.
Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Oh.
Okay, our fifth and final story is a little shipping news, because I don't know about you, but I kind of like miss the Suez.
Oh, by the way, I miss the Suez every night. I'm like, oh my God, please, someone get stuck in the Suez. That's a joke. I know it was a crisis.
Our story is like something that pertains directly to us and us Suez lovers.
Not that I miss the Suez. I just kind of miss like the time when we were all just like talking about the same thing and we all had a common goal, like, no, free the Suez.
And there was no like two sides of the Suez.
No, and it was just like, we live in such, that I think we actually said this when we were reporting on it. Like, we live in such divisive times, like nobody can agree on anything, but we can all agree on like, we need to help the Suez, you know?
Yes, I agree. Well, New York Harbor has welcomed a ship larger than the Empire State Building, the biggest ever ship to dock at the Port Authority Seaport.
Wait, can I ask a really dumb question? Mm-hmm. The fuck is a New York Harbor?
I thought it's
the Hudson River and the East River.
Okay, since it's at Port Authority, it's going to be the Hudson.
Right, but we're calling the Hudson River New York Harbor now?
Yeah, I agree. That's misleading.
I just wish we had, you know, clarification.
Yeah, the largest container ship to ever sail into New York Harbor, again, confusing, arrived Thursday, the crowning achievement of a years-long rebuilding effort to bring the Port Authority seaports up to modern standards. The 1,300-foot CMA CGM Marco Polo, like, that's just such a great name,
yeah,
is longer than the Empire State Building is tall and stretches over five north-south Manhattan blocks. Wow. It can carry up to 8,040-foot containers. It's cargo? Yeah, its cargo on Thursday included containers of household goods bound for shelves at stores and warehouses owned by corporations like Walmart, Amazon, and Lowe's.
Can I say something kind of controversial?
Okay, now that, since this is like an actual like active shipping container, I'm sure that has to go like bring other things around. Uh-huh. But could we still go see it?
I'm sure you can go to the Port Authority and like watch it. Can I say something kind of crazy? Okay, because like those cargo shipping containers, like they're huge. Okay, so it's like the size of the Empire State Building, and all those trucks have to load up those cargo. I just really feel like we don't have space for this. Like, can this be like a Long Island City venture? No, I'm serious. Like, I'm just thinking, like, it's wonderful. I love ingenuity on the sea. I really do. But like, I'm just thinking of like day-to-day lives for Manhattaners. Like, we're already like overpopulated.
We're crammed.
There's so much traffic. Like, I just really feel like this is a project we cannot currently take on. And I would like to pass it on to one of the other boroughs.
It's not a project per se. They're just like dropping some stuff off.
We need the stuff, but we don't have like the time or space to coordinate these drop-offs.
Well, they're doing it. Like, nobody asked you to lift a finger.
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't live near that area, but I can imagine that the people that do have been severely inconvenienced.
Like, that's just a lot of stuff.
There is a lot of space there, but it's actually true. There's also like a garbage dump over there, so I guess that's great. All of our household items are being delivered next to the garbage dump.
Yeah, I just like want to see a big ship in the harbor. You know,
you should go.
You know who would love this?
TBG.
Sully. And TBG.
Yeah, TBG is
Sully.
Is Sully, like, reincarnate. Well, he's not dead, but
Yeah, like, protege.
Yeah.
So I just think that's some pretty cool shipping news. Like, we just love ships.
There was clearly a drought in stories
I saw this story. It was amongst the first, and I said, there's a big ship in our harbor, and we're going to talk about it.
And our ship is coming in. And you know what? It is Friday. You might be going to a dinner party this weekend. So if you're looking for something mundane to bring up, you know, there's a lot of controversial things. You don't want the dinner table to start talking about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. You should say, hey, did you hear one of the world's largest shipping containers as big as the Empire State Building just pulled into Port Authority today? Isn't that a scientific marvel?
The CMA CGM Marco Polo.
Yeah. And then you can ask what you think of the effects on the neighborhood is going to be.
Yeah, even though that's not the conversation.
I'm just saying that is something we should talk about.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And if I have to be the one to lead that conversation, however uncomfortable it may be, I'll do it.
Thank you. You are so brave.
That's why I do what I do.
Okay, is it time for TV recap?
It is. The Kardashians were on last night, and boy, did they disappoint. The Keeping Up with the Kardashians recap is brought to you by... Let me give you a clue.
Brusha, brusha, brusha.
Keep the money, brusha. Oh my yes. God.
Chris was singing that.
Who's Chris?
Kris Jenner. I was watching an old episode. She was singing it.
Oh, that's funny.
And I was like, what is that from? And now I remember Rizzo it's from girly. Greece.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was like a personal joke of ours. So I was like, how does Chris know this song?
No, it's from Greece. No, I know. And it's also the official jingle of Brush, the best electric toothbrush on the market. We know all the toasters have gotten it so far, but if you haven't gotten one yet, we have a great offer for you. If you're looking to elevate your toothbrushing game, if you're not living in an electric toothbrush, you are living in like another century. Like, we're all brushing our teeth electrically, and we're doing it with Brush because it's the most effective electric toothbrush on the market and the most affordable and also the most glamorous. Like, they come in amazing colors. They have a whole line of new colors: gray mist, green dream, mauve cloud. I'm really happy with my millennial pink, but I'm thinking I need to get a mauve cloud brush because it really matches my aesthetic.
I think you do.
Here's how the brush works. Excuse me, the brush. So it comes with 6 unique modes to customize your brushing experience. So if you're looking to brush your gums, if you're looking to brush different parts of your quadrants, they have all these different settings so you can get the best brush possible. They also come with a 2-minute timer for a complete even clean in all 4 mouth quadrants. The battery life lasts 4 weeks, and it comes with a magnetic charging stand and compact travel case. They also come with a subscription program. Never forget to change your brush head again. Brush will ship you new replacement heads every 6 months, so you're never stuck using a worn down brush head again. The design is super, super sleek. The electric toothbrush has a modern, aesthetically pleasing design, and it comes in trend-driven seasonal colors and looks great on your bathroom counter. The truckers for Brush have arrived just on time. Thank you. These new colors are only available for a limited time, so get them before they're just a distant dream. Get 15% off your Brush toothbrush kit and the refill plan when you use promo code TOAST at Brush.com. That's 15% off using promo code TOAST at BRUSH.com.
Sign on, brush your teeth.
Get your breath in check.
Okay, I have something to admit.
You didn't watch?
I was catching
Are
up.
Are you fucking
I
kidding me?
I had 4 episodes to catch up on yesterday, and I could only get through 3, and then it was 11:45, and I had to go to sleep, and I'm so sorry. Tell me what happened.
Okay, what happened? Let me think.
But I watched the one where they announced that they're leaving, so we can recap all. Okay, we all could recap all of that.
There was like a little bit of juicy drama with, so apparently there was like some sort of kerfuffle between Kourtney Kardashian and one of Kim's nannies. And so Kim sat down with Kourtney and wanted to talk about it. Because, like, Kim's like, I don't like to go through staff. Like, I'd like to have staff for a really long time. So I'm not going to fire this nanny based on what she said. But, like, I want to hear from you. And it got really heated really fast. Because basically, like, I guess the nanny, like, made a joke to Saint. Because Saint was, like, being a camper. He'd be like, well, what's going to happen if I do this? And whatever. And the nanny was like, you're going to go to jail. Because, you know, you just say things to kids to... But Kourtney's, like, not that type of mom, you know? So Saint complained to Kourtney. They were driving to Idaho or something. I don't know. Saint complained to Kourtney, and Kourtney explained to the sisters that, like, her and Saint have this type of relationship where if Saint complains to her about something someone did, Saint wants Kourtney to reprimand that person in front of Saint. So Saint feels like Kourtney has his back. And I'm not a parent, and I'm not really not anyone to judge anyone's parenting skills, but it just feels like Saint is in charge. Like, Saint's running the house. And I was like, that's a really weird parenting method. But again, I'm not a parent, so I don't know what it's like.
But also, it's not parenting, it's emptying.
No. Oh, sorry, did I say Saint? Sorry. I meant, wait, was it Rain? Yeah, okay, sorry.
Okay, because I was like, the entities are getting involved.
Sorry. It was Rain. I'm totally misspoke.
She told Rain is going to jail. Rain, okay, so it sounds like Rain is in charge.
Yeah, so it was just like, whatever. So Kourtney then took it upon herself to reprimand the nanny in front of the kids. And when they got home, the nanny was like hysterically crying to Kim, like packing her bags thinking she was going to lose her job. And when Kim asked her what happened, she basically said that like Kourtney was so derogatory to her, speaking down to her like in front of the kids. Like, she said she's never been spoken to that way in her life. And Kourtney just recalled the incident completely differently. Like, it was two people who experienced the same thing, literally explaining it in two different languages. Like, they were completely different. And then it got really heated really fast.
Was the nanny on camera?
No. And they kept bleeping out her name.
Okay.
So Kim was the representative for the nanny versus Kourtney in Kourtney versus nanny. In the people versus Kourtney Kardashian and the nanny.
Got it.
So the conversation got really heated really fast. And then Kim like threw out like an insult. You know, when you're fighting with your sisters, you just say like the most hurtful thing you can say. She's like, well, that's why you can't keep any nannies and no staff like wants to work with you or whatever. And Kourtney went away and she started crying in the bathroom. And it was all about the boundaries again, unhealthy, toxic, negative, whatever. And they eventually worked it out. Kim came over and apologized and just said she was trying to like push Courtney's button, but then they evolved it into like this bullshit storyline about how they need to have a negativity jar because they're all so negative to each other. And it's like when they sit down, it's like, what are you wearing? And actually, like, they do that a lot, but it was not enough for a storyline. Then the other storyline was that Chloe's moving out of her house. She's building a house from the ground up. So she was, and her house already sold, but she's not going to be in her new house for like a couple months. So she had to move to a rental. And the whole thing was like Tristan running around Chloe's house, getting all the candles she likes, labeling his pantry, like copying all the things she has in her house so that while she's in the rental, she'll feel comfortable, you know, spending time at Tristan's house with True. And it was so stupid because it was so fake, like him running around photographing like the lights on her pagoda.
That honestly sounds like cute and good.
It does, but like literally we just heard what, like 2 weeks ago that he cheated on her again. So I just don't know which Tristan to believe. Hashtag who is the real Tristan Thompson?
Okay, I just want to say I didn't keep up fully with that last cheating scandal, but I feel like they were saying like that they think that girl is lying. Like no, that there's
I didn't see that
be like suing.
No, Courtney, Chloe had actually DM'd her and the girl put Chloe's DM on blast.
Right, but that still doesn't mean I don't know what to believe.
No, I like. If history has taught us anything, it's like we don't believe Tristan.
But then
Tristan.
I'm watching this Tristan, who is literally...
So it's like, hashtag, who is the real Tristan Thompson?
I don't know.
So that was like a really dumb storyline. And then the other little storyline was like, their kids have never seen Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And Kim and Scott were like, they're going to watch it one day. Like, don't we want it to be like with us? So they took them on this like little tour of like old places. They took them to the townhouse that Chloe, Scott, and Courtney used to live in. And like, they couldn't have cared less. And Kim and Scott were like dying and the kids were like acting like animals and they had to leave. But then they like set up like a little theater. They spliced together like, you know, important moments from every episode of the last like 20 seasons and made all the kids watch it in the theater and everyone was so happy, la-di-da. It was a really dumb episode.
Honestly, it sounds amazing.
No, it was really silly. It was super silly.
Okay. And then just what we need to talk about is like the last few episodes, like they announced that the show is ending. Like
Nori's
really
Black Book.
Nori's Black Book, which was so exciting. And I love that I love Nori's Black Book. I love that they love it.
Me too.
And
they're not offended by it and they're like, they can laugh at themselves.
Yeah, because like Nori goes in sometimes, you know?
The Dream Kardashian Hope Fund. It's the funniest thing ever.
I know, they didn't mention that.
No, though. Of course not, because it's so mean, but it's hysterical.
But then they were like harping so much on the show ending, and it was like so sad, and we're not going to see each other. And it's like, but what about the deal that you just signed?
Yeah, no, like, I'm sure they can't like promote their new show on their old show. Like, there's some sort of ethics around that. But
but it's literally just going to be the same thing, but on Hulu. So it's like, Scott, is you're going to... Yeah.
They haven't told us what the Hulu show is going to be.
I think it's going to be the same thing. I really do.
But see... I went on the Nuts, Getting Me Not Fat podcast yesterday and we were having this conversation because like it makes no sense. Like part of the reason why they're ending the show is because literally nobody can film. Like Kim and Chloe have to go to the hospital for their backs being broken for literally putting the show on their back for the last 5 years. Kendall doesn't want to film. Chloe doesn't want to film. Courtney has her boundary issues. And like MJ is suddenly the star of the show. Like, so why does moving to Hulu fix that?
More money. More money.
But I don't really feel like it's ever been about money.
No, but I think that they could have even, like, yes, they have issues with, like, nobody wants to film, but they get the show out, you know?
It's not very good.
People are watching it.
If it weren't the Kardashians, I would have stopped watching this show years, well, no, this season, 2 months ago.
I know, it's, like, not good, but I still, like, just enjoy it. I just enjoy watching it. Like, even watching Kim try and learn dances from Addison, like, Kim is a nice dancer.
No, she is... really not a good dancer.
I enjoyed watching it. I wish she would have gone through with it.
I wish she would have gone through with it too, because I was thinking, I'm like, I never saw that TikTok. So
yeah,
where's so it gonna be?
It didn't happen. Also, the storyline with the lifeguard, I found to be,
he was cute,
so hysterical. He was so cute. Everyone like didn't know how to act. I just like enjoyed. There's some things that I enjoy, and then other times where I'm like,
yeah, no, it's like silliness. Honestly, whatever like Scott's involved with is always like the worst storyline. No offense to Scott. He deserves better.
No, but for me, it's like whenever they just keep saying the same thing, like Chloe and her surrogate, I thought it was going to be really easy because for Kim, it was so easy. But for me, I'm a little bit more micromanaging.
It's repetitive.
They say that like five different times throughout the episode. I'm like, I get it. It was easy for Kim, not easy for you. Micromanage. Got it.
Yeah, no,
got
it's it very repetitive time. And they talk so slow and like there's really just no substance. But I live for them and I love the looks.
I love the looks. Yeah, exactly. So
it's worth it.
Yeah, it's a fun time. I really tried my best. I'm really sorry. I didn't even read yesterday. Like I was really trying to
I just can't believe you didn't
it.
Even tell me.
I know. I just didn't want to burst your bubble. Like there's enough going on. I thought that it could
That's
wait.
Fine.
I thought it could wait.
So nothing else was on last night, right? Just Kutka?
Kutka. And now it's Friday, and so we must acknowledge the space that we're in.
We must.
We have 2 days of alarm-free living in case you forgot how the week works.
And we must go forth and prosper with this alarm-free life living. You know, go to the edge of a cliff. Norma Kamali is rooting for you. We're all rooting for you.
We're all rooting for you. I'm just so excited that it's Friday.
Me too.
Even though it doesn't feel like a Friday.
No, I know, because we just have a lot on our minds. And usually Friday is like, I can't be bothered to think about literally anything even remotely serious.
Yeah, I totally agree. But we're going to get into that weekend headspace and we're going to make it a good one. Thank you all. We all thank you for listening to The Morning Toast.
We really all do. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. Oh,
if I may, I filmed my What I Eat in a Day vlog yesterday.
Is it up?
It should be up today. I'm going to put it all together. I was like really enjoying like just watching it. I thought, I'm just so interested. No, but it turned into like what I do in a day because I eat all day. So that's what I'm doing. So that'll be up today at patreon.com/morningtoast. If you're looking for premium content or you just want to support your girls, patreon.com/morningtoast.
We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox. Also, I don't think you guys should miss out on what's going on in the Toast next week, because we have scheduled some, I don't want to jinx it because like everyone cancels on us, but we have scheduled some unbelievable guests. Yeah. Like, Dreams. So just keep up with The Morning Toast, okay? Love you guys. Stay safe this weekend. Reach out to your fellow Jew and have a great weekend.
Love you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.